Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of his word. Come sit with us.
In Matthew chapter 10, as Jesus was training his disciples for the work that they would do for him after he returned to the glory of heaven, he not only taught them through his words, but he taught them by the example of his life. And he didn't tell them about the great successes that they would have as they served him. He didn't tell them about the great number of people who would believe the message of salvation that they would bring to the world. But instead, he told them about what they would face for the rest of their lives as those who would represent him as his disciples on this earth. He told them about the price that they would pay, the price that would be great, because he said that he was sending them out into a hostile world. He was sending them away from the safety and the security of the sheepfold. He was sending them into the wilderness of this world. And he was sending them out as defenseless sheep who were unable to care for themselves, but still, he was sending them out in order that they might sow the seed of the word of God. And he was sending them among people who were like wolves, who were like ferocious wild animals who could easily tear them to pieces. He was sending them into difficult situations among difficult people. But Jesus told them they were not to fear. They were to remain confident because despite the danger, the shepherd of their souls would be with them. Jesus himself would be with them no matter what happened, no matter what they would face. Well, I'm not so sure how much comfort that was to them at that time. And no wonder we're told in Matthew 9, verse 37, Jesus said, the workers for him are few. Because this sounds like an assignment that only those who are a little insane would undertake. But those of us who belong to Jesus Christ know what he has done for us. We know what he has done in our lives. We know what he has done in our hearts. He has taken a life that was hopelessly lost in sin, and he has made us well and whole in him forever. We are not insane. We are just grateful. And we may be sheep, but we are not the ones who are in danger. Those that we reach with the message of salvation are the ones who are in danger of eternal fire. So we warn them. We weep for them because they're spiritually blind. They're dead in their sin. So we pray that the Lord would open their eyes to the truth and save them. And so we feed them just as we have been fed. We feed them with the truth of the Word of God. And no matter where we may go, we know that we do not have to go very far to find those wolves, to find those who slander us, And those who lie about us, those who seek to discredit us, to discourage us, and to destroy us. And perhaps that is how the Apostle Paul felt as he faced those false teachers in the church in the city of Corinth. And so he affirms the validity of who he is in Christ. He affirms the validity of the ministry that God had given to him. And he affirms it not by his successes, not by how many churches he had started, not by the number of people who had come to Christ before he got there, or after he got there. He doesn't affirm it by any of those things. But he affirms it by the extent of the suffering that he endured for Christ. Because, as Jesus said in John 15, verse 20, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, Jesus said, then they will persecute you. No wonder the laborers are so few. And so in verse 22 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says this: are those false teachers who are among you, are they Hebrews? Do they have their ethnic roots among those who came from beyond the Euphrates River and who settled in the land of Palestine? Is Hebrew their native language? Or perhaps it's Aramaic. Are they purebred Jews? Paul says, well, so am I. Are they Israelites? Are they descended from Jacob, who God renamed Israel? Are they part of the nation of Israel, whom God set apart as his own people? Well, Paul says, so am I. Are they descendants of Abraham, who was the heir of the covenant, of the promise, of blessing between God and his people in the nation of Israel before there was a nation of Israel? Paul says, well, so am I. Are they servants of Christ? Diakonos in Greek. Are they his ministers? Are they his representatives? And that is the real question, isn't it? Who truly represents Jesus Christ on this earth? And in Corinth, that is where the similarity between those teachers and Paul ends. So Paul says, I speak as if I am insane. Paraphraneo in Greek. As if I am totally out of my mind. They're not servants of Christ because they don't even belong to him. And here is the proof of my credentials, he says. My credentials are more than just ethnicity. They're more than just language. They're more than just background. The marks of a true servant of Christ have a different set of criteria. Let me explain, he says in verse 23. I have been in far more labors, kapas in Greek. I have consistently toiled to the point of exhaustion and even beyond exhaustion. I've been in far more imprisonments for Christ. at least 5 times that we know of. Philippi, Jerusalem, and Caesarea, and 2 times in the city of Rome. I have been beaten times without number. There are just too many times to count. I have often been in danger of death, constantly thinking that I had reached the end of my time on this earth. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes according to the Mosaic law, because they looked at me as a blasphemer, because I preached the name of Jesus as the Messiah. 3 times I was beaten with rods by the Gentiles. Once I was stoned by an angry mob in the city of Lystra, and I was left for dead. And so, as Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verse 17, I bear the scars. I bear the brand marks of Christ. And at the time that Paul wrote this letter, he said 3 times I was shipwrecked. But we know there were more shipwrecks to come as he traveled on the rough seas of the Mediterranean. And as a result of one of those shipwrecks, he informs us, I spent a night and the day in the deep, clinging to a piece of the wreckage from the ship until I was rescued. I have been on frequent missionary journeys, in danger from rivers that without warning overflowed their banks, almost sweeping me away. I've been in danger from robbers, lestas in Greek, from those who waited for travelers to pass by so that they could rob them and murder them. I've been in danger from my countrymen, from the Jewish people, who considered me a traitor to the nation of Israel. I've been in danger from the Gentiles, whom I was seeking to reach with the message of salvation in Christ, but who rejected that message. I have been in danger in almost every city where I traveled, as many people tried to silence me. I've been in danger in the wilderness, in danger from wild beasts. I've been in danger on the sea. I've been in danger from false brothers who gave the appearance of being believers, but who were, in fact, enemies of the cross and bent on my destruction. I've been consistently, constantly in labor and in hardship. Life has been difficult for me as a servant of Christ. A little convicting, isn't it? I wonder where are our scars? We can't see them. Perhaps they are inside. But those who follow Jesus Christ have scars as they serve him. Paul says, I've had many sleepless nights. I've been in prayer for the church. I've been in prayer for the lost. I've been in fear for my life. I've been working at night with my hands so that I would not be a burden to anyone. But despite that, at times, Paul says in verse 27, I have been in hunger and I have been in thirst, not having even the bare necessities of life. Often I've been without food, shivering in the cold, suas in Greek, shivering as the wind blew upon me while in exposure, gumnatas in Greek, while poorly clothed. And apart from that, apart from those external things, beyond that, as bad as that may have been, within me, he says, there is the daily pressure, epestatas in Greek, like a weight pressing down upon me all of the time, a weight of concern coming in at me from every direction, a concern for all of the people in the churches, the heartfelt concern for the people of God. And so Paul cries out in verse 29, who is weak in the faith without my being weak? I suffer when they suffer. I feel their anxiety. I feel their pain. And who is being led into sin without my intense concern? Purao in Greek. It is as if I have been set on fire and I am inflamed with grief and with anger for the sin that is overtaking them. So if I have to boast, he says in verse 30, I will boast of what pertains to my weakness, to my frailty. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, he who is blessed forever, he knows, he is aware that I am not lying about these things. He will validate the truth of what I say. He knows my heart. And perhaps, thinking about his weakest time in the ministry, in verse 32, Paul recounts an incident that took place in the city of Damascus when the ethnarch, the governor of that city, who was under the Arabian king Aretas, was guarding the city of the Damascenes with his soldiers. In order to seize me, Paul says, I was being hunted like a criminal for my faith in Christ. And so, in humiliation and in fear, by night, I was let down by fellow believers in that city in a basket. It was like I was a basket of fish. So I was secretly lowered through a window in the wall of the city. And so I ran away. I escaped. I escaped his hands with my life, and I fled to Jerusalem. But I am not insane to live like this. I am just a servant of Christ. Does that resonate with us? We too are not insane, despite what some people may think about us. We are just servants of Christ Jesus, our Lord.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.